Our Father and our God, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown to us in descending, condescending to dwell among sinful flesh and to come in wrapped in that mantle of our humanity. And we pray, Father, that you would this night teach us, direct us, direct our thoughts as we consider the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ in this particular work. And we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have together to consider these things in word and song. We ask, Father, that you would quiet our hearts now and that you would teach us and instruct us by thy Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The interrogatives of the Incarnation. Who was incarnate? It was God, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What is incarnation? It is the act of assuming flesh or taking a human body in the nature of a man. Where did the incarnation take place? In the womb of a virgin who was named Mary, whom God had chosen. Why the incarnation? To fulfill the eternal purposes of God in the redeeming of all of God's elect, in redeeming me. What is redemption? It is God purchasing my soul by the sacrifice of his Son. And what is propitiation? It is God being satisfied with that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as the punishment for my guilt, my sin. What is atonement? God reconciled to me a rebel in his universe. When was the incarnation? It took place in the fullness of time, as the scripture says, in the days of Caesar Augustus. And how can God become flesh? By a divine purpose, by a miracle, an assumption of a human nature inseparably joined to the divine nature, so that Christ now, seated at the right hand of the Father on high, still owns a human nature. How can God redeem me? It is by his Son. His Son standing in my place, called substitution, taking my guilt upon himself, taking the punishment of my guilt upon himself, and thereby taking my sin away, as the scripture describes it, as far as the east is from the west and into the depths of the sea. Living in my place a righteous life, and then imputing that righteousness to me. So that the righteousness we have is a foreign righteousness. It is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let a mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our Lord to earth descended.
God descended to create the world and man upon it. The world became light and life, and all was very good. But Adam, our representative, was ungrateful and plunged the globe into darkness and death, and it was very bad. But God in mercy descended to proclaim and provide a deliverer who would be light and life to restore our ruined estate to very good. We'll have a responsive reading together. And I will begin. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you.
Judah is a lion as well. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lion's, who dares crouch him up?
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, or the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you that you descended to create the world and the entire universe in which we marvel, and that our Savior is also our Creator, for the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we confess that it is God that has made us, and not we ourselves. All our light and life proceeds from your light and life. And for this, we praise your holy name. Amen.
For the beauty
is increased by the understanding of the fall of the earth. All that God created was good, but one prohibition was given to man to test his love to God. And through the pride of his heart, he brought misery and darkness into the world. Save us from ourselves, O God. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Which is why we sing, come, come thou long expected Jesus. And the world of believers did look for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in that coming.
Oh,
Father, my sins rise up against me to condemn my soul. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Salvation announced, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us.
Carol Albertson. He is the ancient wisdom of the world, the word creative, beautiful, and true, the nameless of innumerable names, ageless forever, yet forever new.
Came, he did not just crack the door, he opened wide our heavenly home, and he also closed the path to misery. Blessed be his name. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just, he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And it is true yet today that we are not ready to die until we have seen the Lord's Christ.
By Edwin Markham. Here is the truth in a little creed, enough for all the roads we go, and love is all the law we need, and Christ is all the God we know.
Christ's coming was to clear the darkness away as a light. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Thank you.
what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. By the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, he has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let us pray. We receive you this day, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the satisfaction for the broken law, for our atonement to reconcile us to the Father. Be our salvation, take away our guilt as far as the east is from the west. Cast our guilt and condemnation into the depths. Amen.
This next hymn may not be familiar to all of you. If you read music in the Trinity, it's hymn number 150. The first two verses are verse 1 and 3 from the hymn book, and then we have some different verses. So if you want to follow the tune, 150 in the Trinity.
Cherish this little poem written by Lucy Shaw, published in her book Accompanied by Angels, Poems of the Incarnation in 2006. Blue homespun and the bend of my breast keep warm this small, hot, naked star fallen to my arms. Rest, you who have had so far to come. Now nearness satisfies the body of God sweetly. Quiet he lies, whose vigor hurled a universe. He sleeps, whose eyelids have not closed before. His breath, so slight it seems no breath at all, once ruffled the dark deeps to sprout a world. Charmed by doves' voices, the whisper of straw, he dreams, hearing no music from his other spheres. Breath, mouth, ears, eyes, he is curtailed, who overflowed all skies, all years. Older than eternity, now he is new. Now, native to earth, as I am, nailed to my poor planet, caught that I might be free, blind in my womb to know my darkness ended, brought to this birth for me to be newborn, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn.
So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The old rare John Trapp, as Spurgeon called him, said, "An unbeliever shall have a double condemnation. One, from the law which he has transgressed. Another, a second, from the gospel which he has despised." As a malefactor, that being condemned and dead in law rejects his prince's pardon. But it is otherwise with those that are in Christ Jesus. The law cannot condemn them, because they have appealed. The gospel cannot, because they have believed. And so God calls to us from the scriptures, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and will find pasture." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The scripture abounds with invitations from our God to come, to be healed, to be filled, to have your thirst, your spiritual thirst, quenched, to have your sins taken away.
So many of our hymns have a great story behind their composition. On Christmas Eve of 1818, the young priest of St. Nicholas Parish Church in Obendorf faced disaster. The organ had been incapacitated by mice. The chance of fixing the instrument before the evening service was nil. Father Joseph Moore was not a man to just give up, however. He pulled out a poem he had written several years before called Stille Nacht. Moore took his poem to the schoolmaster and organist of a nearby town, Franz Xaver Gruber. He asked that Gruber write a melody to accompany the poem on guitar. In several hours, Gruber had the music done, and the carol was played for the first time that night at the Christmas Eve service. The song was not translated into English for another 50 years. Episcopalian Bishop John Freeman Young published the English translation that is most frequently sung today in 1859. The writing of the song is unique enough, but one other interesting fact makes this carol special. In 1914, during the Christmas truce, World War I, the song was sung in French, English, and German simultaneously. It was apparently the one song that all the soldiers on both sides knew.
Obviously, the hymn is Silent Night, Holy Night. Right? Yep.
Silent Night, Holy Night.
hearts are made glad this night, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we recount in different ways the coming of your great personage to this earth to dwell in tabernacle among us. We thank you for the everlasting love of the Father to send forth his beloved Son into this world to accomplish the great purpose of redemption. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come to do the Father's will, to accomplish our salvation, to persevere in love and patience, and by thy effectual call to bring us into the kingdom of God, out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the powerful work upon our souls to make Christ known to us and to make Christ beautiful to us. We ask that you would continue your work of sanctification in our hearts and minds. And as we come to the close of a year, we are grateful for your kind watch care over us all these days and all these Sabbaths that we have gathered together. And we ask now that you would bless your people as they go forth to their homes, go forth to special times with their families. We ask that you would cause the beauty of Christ to rest upon us, and that in our hearts and minds that we would be brought once again to meditate upon this great work, and that our affections would be brought out and our will would be sweetly in submission to the will of the Father. We ask now that you would bless each soul that's gathered here tonight. Lord, you know each family. You know each individual. You know all needs. You know the soul's needs. And we pray that by the text of Scripture, by the truths that have been spoken, that you would cause them to live in each heart according to your own purposes as you send forth your word, that it shall never return void but will always bear fruit unto the glory of God. And that is our hope, and that is what we pray for each and every soul gathered here. Now, go in peace. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. You are dismissed.